Welcome home, brave heroes. I'm Ash, this is AshQuest, and it's time once again for the Broadcast, an irregular podcast series that talks about HeroQuest and all things adjacent, including dungeon-crawling tabletop adventures. Today, I am going to be opening up the podcast interview Fireside Discord channel, and those who have the role will be able to jump in if they so desire. And if you want to have the role and join me in a future podcast, just join the Discord, which is always linked in the description of the YouTube videos below. And you can come in, request the role, make yourself known and all that good stuff. It helps me to know kind of who is able to join in on the podcast if I'm going to be doing things in this form. I don't know how often I will be doing things this way or if it'll go really well, but you know what? We're going to try it and we're going to roll with whatever the results are. So we've only got a couple of participants who are able to join if they are available. If not, it's not a big deal. We have quite the topic to think about today and to talk through. I want to talk about the future of Avalon Hills HeroQuest. I want to talk about the next 5 years, I think is a good timeline. And I'm looking at the path that they are on, and I think that this would have been a very different video 1 year ago. It would have been a very different video 9 months ago. I say video. It's a podcast. It's audio. You're listening to it in your car or washing dishes, or maybe you're a brave soul who is trying to listen while you're mowing your lawn. That doesn't usually go very well. Usually I just wear earplugs, not earbuds. In any case, I say different because this time last year and even 3 months ahead, we knew about some really cool stuff that was coming out. We had leaks, we had suspicions, we had speculations. It looked like a really bright future for HeroQuest and for Avalon Hill, and it still does. Those of you who have been a follower of the channel for any length of time, you know that I like to analyze things in a fair way. Or at least my version of fair. We really can't exclude any bias whatsoever. What I think is fair may not be the same as what you think is fair, but I really do try to look at both the perceived good and the perceived bad, and I don't really take the bad as negative. I don't really take the good as hopeful. I like to take these things into account as realistically as possible and just kind of look at the data provided by the opinions of others and dig for information, like the dwarf likes to diggy the hole. But I say that to say that some of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about during this particular episode may not come off as super hopeful or super nice, but it's really just more at taking a look at different possibilities. And so without even more ado, I would like to tell you where I think Avalon Hill's direction is going right now. Well, okay, so right now is kind of a misnomer. They're going to be unveiling all of First Light at Gen Con, which is happening so soon. And we're going to be getting to see all of the contents of it. We know what the target audience is. As a product, it is opening itself up to as big of an audience as it can, which is to say brand new players and experienced veteran players alike. And I think that that's a really smart move. I think it's a really kind of the only move, the most broad move. And we do have a person who has joined the podcast, maybe to listen, maybe to talk. I don't know yet, but I just want to point out that Ribby is here. Ribby of various HeroQuest platform and social media channel and the like fame. Welcome, Ribby. Even if you can't sneak in, what's your status? Are you incognito? Okay, so we do have an issue with the setup of the recording right now. I'm not going to be able to get any sound from any sound sources other than my microphone. It's too late to fix it now. I'll use this as a learning experience, but I will translate what Ribby has said. I will paraphrase Ribby's words. I didn't know if this was the time where Ribby was corporate slave, but it looks like he is able to respond from a quiet corner of his corporate dungeon. You're not in anybody's line of sight just yet. The concept of the podcast, which, welcome, by the way, what an honor to have my my very, maybe not officially first, maybe officially first on AshQuest, maybe after the Fire and Ice creators. Second, anyway, one of the very first guests on the platform, period. Awesome to have you. Thank you for joining. We are thinking about the future of our beloved dungeon crawler, HQ, and we are... We're not really looking at it in a lens of doom saying, not one of, oh God, this is going to become corporate trash, nor are we going to assume the best. I kind of want to explore the middle road and figure out if we can define what that middle road is. And so best case scenario, I would be looking at this in the same light that I did 9 months ago, 1 year ago. Avalon Hill has control of the property under Hasbro, and they are hitting each expansion, knocking them out of the park. Their original content is demonstrably great. They seem to really know what they're doing, and most importantly of all, they have a love for what they are doing. Fast forward to today. We have changes that have happened at Hasbro. We had a lot of layoffs. We've lost a lot of good community-facing people at Avalon Hill, and we no longer have that same level of down-to-earthness, sincereness with people that love interacting with the community. And in addition to that, we have a couple of other weird tells that just kind of set us on edge, put some people at unease. And not going the conspiracy theorist route here, but just some things that people have pointed out. And the first being Avalon Hill's Discord kind of dying. It's still there. It still has community interaction. Doug, Wandering Monster, still pops in. Doesn't appear to answer pings. Does not appear to, which I don't blame him. I personally can't stand the people ping him at all. I don't think he's there for that, but comes in to provide just little bits and pieces of information or details. I'm honestly wondering, despite the fact that there are definitely moderation and admin staff there, if like Hasbro knows about the Discord and if the Discord is even being run, or if it's still like a little secret handshake nod between people who are like, yeah, they don't know about this, just on some level. I almost wonder if it's the less they know about this, the more fans can come here and do stuff. Because we don't have a nod that there's official support there beyond Wandering Monster. We don't have new channels. We don't have a channel for Jungles of Delthrak. It's not really being managed, which is a strange thing. But that's just the first. That's just the first, and you know that we can give benefit of the doubt there. That's fine. Whatever. Maybe just a oversight right now. Maybe people are just too busy. The team is stretched a little too thin. Nobody cares because it's not an issue. It's fine. Second tell, all of the social media priorities moved completely off of X/Twitter. Sorry, Twitter, and is on Instagram. And that's not a bad thing by any means. I mean, Instagram seems to be much more of a mature platform. It's a little bit more odd because I see it as like the pictures and photographs and shorts sort of platform. And Twitter's more like, here's where brands come to brand. Maybe. Might be alone in that. But it's more than that. To me, it kind of symbolizes, hey, we're starting fresh. We're putting our stuff here instead of there. Before, you had Skeletor vibes, Zargon. And now you don't have that. That's gone. Yeah, this time last year, we were conceptualizing Sir Ragnar's lore, and we were talking about what direction the quests could go in. And we were talking about, don't get me wrong, we had our fair share of Avalon Hill should do this, they should do that. Hasbro's garbage, but Avalon Hill knows what they're doing. We had all kinds of corporate lore that we were talking about, but it was a lot more on the game side of things. And like, it almost feels to me like a lot more of the focus has shifted to the company and the hands in which the product lies instead of the product and the fantasy of it. It's a lot more what's going on behind the curtain. And that's not necessarily fun. That's not a cool thing. I would rather argue with somebody about, you know, the rogue not being, whenever the card says elf loses 2 body points, although the rogue is protected because it's not the elf. And they're like, but he is an elf, you can see. And I'm like, but that's not the intent. That's the kind of conversations we should be having. Not where are the mods? Response from Ribby. Again, paraphrasing. Avalon Hill, at least they do have a fan-facing community Discord where it's intended as a platform for people to get together and talk. At least they do have that. They do try, and they were transparent about a lot of stuff. They were talking about stuff, sharing sneaks and teases into their developmental journey. We don't have a lot of board game manufacturers, producers that do that at all, if any. There's practically zero, right? I think that's true, but I don't want to rob those companies that do interact with their people of their efforts. Steamforge Games does a good job of it. Steamforge has a Discord that has just a ton of self-select roles and all these different channels devoted to the different projects they've come out with. And say, if you backed Elden Ring and you go into the Elden Ring channel and you want to talk shop about some of the mechanics, or you want to give feedback beyond using their Kickstarter comment section, which I would advise doing, because the Kickstarter comments kind of get to a level of, all right, this is just uncivil garbage, I don't want to read through this anymore. If you want to talk serious about mechanics and give some real feedback and interface with the devs themselves, you can actually do that. You can actually go into Steamforged and talk to them. And I think that's probably true of the more independent creators. Like Wizards of the Coast? Not probably not going to happen. Never. I don't have any other examples. I'd have to look behind me here and look at game companies. Games Workshop? I don't know how easy it is to talk to. The Jordan Sorcery makes it seem like it's extremely easy to talk to Games Workshop people. Blacklist? I don't know if you could talk to... You could probably talk to Blacklist. Pegasus Spiel? I bet not. Monolith? Famously hard to get a hold of, but I think that's... I don't think that's the norm. I think they're just poor at staying accessible. Oh, quick response from Ruby on this one. Monolith is only really inaccessible if you're asking about Orc Quest, not if you are asking about their other active, current in development type games. They're very responsive in this case. They filter out the Orc Quest. They're like, we're tired of hearing about it. Stop asking about Orc Quest. The answer is we'll get to it when we get to it. But that's the second sign of change. The platform change. No more X. Now it's Instagram, which is, again, that's fine. Could be a pretty smart move. Could be a pretty good move. The loss of the comedic Zargon, Twitter Zargon, the lore is sealed. It's like Morcar now. It definitely existed. It was canon on some level. But it's finite. Now people will have to homebrew their Twitter Zargons to get on it, people. Number three, really in no particular order. Number three, Jungles of Delthrak, which, you know what? That indicates a change in the direction of the game development from the team's side, the team that worked on it, I believe. I'm fully on board with the idea that because these things take a long time to develop, that all the people, all the key people that we knew about were on board creating this expansion, and that their efforts were all good faith efforts, and they put the same level of dedication and hard work into it that we expected them to, that Rise of the Dreadmoon inspired us to expect of them. And I think they did a great job. There's little complaints here and there from people like, no, not dinosaurs. And I don't know, this is too unhero quest like. And then you have comments that are kind of balance those out, like, oh, the simplicity of this is perfect for hero quest. And also, well, they had to do something or it was going to get stale. Which, yeah, I can see both sides. They're just responding to homebrew. That's all they're doing. They're just responding to very popular homebrews that people keep coming up with. Everybody and their dog came up with a whirlwind skill for the barbarian, so it stands to reason that Avalon Hill would give us a skill that's kind of that and also kind of its own thing. The Avalon Hill interpretation. So no worries there. That was another one knocked out of the park. But now we're going to get, before I made the channel live, the VC, I had a bit of a monologue. And I disclaimered, I said, I don't doomsay. I like looking at things through kind of a balanced lens if I can. That also means not looking at stuff with just 100% hope. I can be wrong. I will eat crow. I'm not even really going to make a serious prediction or anything like that. But I kind of think Jungles of Delthrak is peak content. I think this was Avalon Hill at the top of their game, fueled by the confidence in the great feedback to Rise of the Dreadmoon. They put in multiple paths. They put in enemy keywords. They scored. They understood the assignment. And I don't know if the resources are there for another one like that. Certainly another expansion, original, certainly. Probably for years to come. And maybe the team left behind will get better and better and nail it. They'll be able to nail exactly the elements of what people would like to see and then like what sells, because those two things are not, unfortunately, always going to be the same. But another expansion with the size, complexity, and ambition of Jungles, I don't know. I would not be surprised, I'll say, if Jungles ends up being peak content. But there's a lot more to do here. There's a lot more to execute if they're using source material to its fullest. And there's still a lot more homebrew to answer if they want to go that route. There's still concepts that are introduced in Jungles to build on if they want to do that. They built on the concept of the alchemy deck just a teensy bit. Love that. Like the crafting part of it's not in there, which I didn't expect it to be. That's a Rise of the Dreadmoon mechanic. That doesn't have to be reintroduced with everything. That's understandable. I get it. I understand what they did, I feel. But there's alchemy cards. So it's like, you can do these things together, and it'll be even better if you do. And I think that they can use that mindset ad infinitum and just keep making stuff like that. First Light is our fourth sign that things are heading in a different direction. And it's caused a lot of folks to question the direction. And again, not doomsaying, not naysaying, it's just observation. People have questioned. And I've questioned. I'm like, what is this? The description of it, the presentation of it, we don't know anything. We don't have the presentation of it. We just have like the preview. We have the box and we have the front of the box and we have the, here's what the Amazon description is going to be. That's all we have. We know nothing. We know next to nothing. But what we do know, the presentation's a little weird. We've got the AI art debacle. We've got the response to it, which was bigger than I thought it would be. And then we have the company response, which was just really pouring gasoline on that fire. And the artist naming, which they were better off not doing. And then people looking into that and getting ruffled feathers over that as well. Understandably, they're not in this show. I'm not faulting anybody for their viewpoints on AI, on the artist in particular, or on their reactions to it. I don't think anybody is overreacting by saying that's not for them on that basis alone, because I get that. I do get that. That is a to each their own thing. But it's different. It's not consistent with what we've seen before. It's a new thing. It breaks all the conventions. So it's got people on edge. It's got people a little worried. Here's, is that accurate? just summarizing the significantly longer worded feedback from Ribby on this one, we definitely hope that they continue the upward trend, the good, the high peak content, the quality of what we have come to see and expect of HeroQuest, despite the cover of First Light and despite the Hasbro tainted feeling debacle of their artist and all that stuff. All that stuff aside, everything could be as it was, as it should be, exactly the same. That possibility is there. It's rather strong. So I feel like we want to maintain the good, the hope and all that here. And I think because I will go on record and say this, in my personal opinion, in my single player, single user, single customer, you know, put the channel and all that stuff aside, in my opinion, they have a get out of jail free card, because no matter what, no matter what, none of this was promised. They gave us a crowdfund. They gave us the game. They said, here's Keller's Keep and Return of the Witch Lord. Everything after that was icing on the cake. They brought us the game back. There's a lot of people who don't care. They're like, eh, the new stuff's garbage. I'll play the old stuff any day. No true Scotsman, you know, and all that. That's fine. I understand that, because I continue to collect old Hammer models for my old game so that I can play the old game and not the new game when I feel like staring at third edition model. It's the entire reason I bought this overpriced, silly looking red dragon model, Igrim. It's so I could have a dragon in classic HeroQuest, and this dragon's going to represent Venom, and he's going to represent every other dragon that I want to put in a HeroQuest homebrew. But as far as like separation between old and new, there's plenty of people who are like, man, I wish they would reprint HeroQuest. Man, I wish it would come back. I wish it would be more accessible, because spending hundreds of bucks on an expansion, a tiny little collection of chits and plastic minis, that's not accessible to everybody. And so Avalon Hill really made a lot of dreams come true when they came back with that, and people took that opportunity to back that campaign and help them get it realized. And obviously we're here today, and they've done a lot of cool stuff with it since then. They've been bringing back other expansions that were just impossible for some folks to get, and reintroducing expansions that, for whatever reason, people didn't even know existed, like Frozen Horror or Return Against the Ogre Horde. You had people who were like, man, I never knew this was a thing. Either because they were in the country where it wasn't released, or because they just fell out of HeroQuest when they were a kid, got back into it because they had kids, or they found the box in the attic or from grandma's house or whatever, dusted it off. Man, I remember this. Let's play. Oh, this is kind of fun. Wonder what it's going for. Might sell it. Holy crap, there's a lot of stuff on eBay. What is all this nonsense? So it's kind of like, even if they fade out, like just completely sell out, collapse on themselves, worst case scenario, just Wizards of the Coast themselves into the dirt. Never mind all the tragedy that would be for the folks involved. The product itself has been awesome, and it's been a lot of fun collecting the stuff and talking about it. And it's kind of hard to, it's really, really hard to fault them as a whole. Like, decisions made can lead up to the point where they're like, okay, we're going to do completely AI, art. This is the doomsday scenario. Okay. This is not my prediction. This is to make a point. What if they wake up and they're like, well, I got an email from Hasbro says I'm fired. There's only one person at Avalon Hill left, and they're just in charge of coffee. And all of the quests are now AI generated. When you buy them and open the books, the tiles are in the wrong places. The furniture is AI distorted. The text is AI generated. It's all bad. It's just all bad. There's references to to comedy dramas starring Ryan Gosling. It's not even trying to stick to fantasy. This product is garbage now. It's bad. No matter what direction it takes, and it won't be anywhere near that bad, it's okay because of what they've already come out with. Even if we stop collecting, we have all kinds of new life in the homebrew scene. I just did a video on Cthulhu Quest, two volumes of quest packs that were sent to me by a kind viewer. And I looked at the contents of both, and they were made using HQuest Builder, and they're on Amazon. I don't know that this stuff would exist without the new expansion, without people looking at this stuff and getting inspired and wanting to make stuff and do stuff. So in a way, it's reignited, it's reintroduced, and we might be looking at another 30 years of people carrying the torch individually on the homebrew side, and the old inn just continuing until it's the ancient inn. So here Ribby outlines the success of HeroQuest as a tabletop dungeon crawling experience versus other board games of different sizes, different presence, backed by bigger companies, trying the same formula, not getting the same results, not the same longevity. One exception being Descent, second edition. It came out with all kinds of different expansions. There are just a crap load. It's such a large number of expansions for Descent second edition, but so many of them are inaccessible. It's impossible to get them unless you get them secondhand or hope to find one that's stayed sealed in the box, at which point you're going to be paying premium prices from an eBay seller or a Mercari seller or some of that ilk. And those died out. Descent still lives on as a new edition, as arguably a different game. But the moral of the story is Avalon Hill have delivered to us more than we ever hoped for. More than I ever hoped for. I concur. I think that's very fair. And I think Descent's a good comparison too, because of the similarities, I think, in the audience. I don't know if Descent tried to make itself. Yeah. Tabletop dungeon crawl, not a TTRPG necessarily, but something you can easily set out with finite enemies and quests. And I don't know. I think Avalon Hill's tried really hard to approach the marketability aspect of it. I don't know if I would say, it's smarter or not as intelligent, either or, as Descent. But I know that they've pushed really hard for accessibility. And just complete the base game and then you can play this campaign. Boom. Which campaign? What's the order? Doesn't matter. Complete the base game. You can play the campaign. You can play the expansion. But what's the difficulty? Doesn't matter. Complete the base game. That's been the mantra. That was it early on. I want to say that's probably in their overall game design Bible. But like, even companies like Games Workshop, they don't keep the Warhammer Quest train going. They can. They certainly could if they wanted. They could get together and think about how to do Warhammer Quest in a way that was evergreen. And they keep doing iterations of it years apart. And they're kind of meant to be backwards compatible, so you can play them together, but it's not really the same thing. It's like, it's over. It's the end. It's done. There's not a new thing for it. So I don't know. I look at stuff like Dungeons and Dragons. I'm like, okay, they've been around for 50 years because they've undergone transformations and they've tried to follow certain business trends, and people have come and gone, and it's divided fan base. There's a lot of people that mock 5th edition. There's a lot of people that mock 4th, whatever. It is still going, though. I don't know if it's going anywhere that I'd be interested in, but it's going. And then I think there's not really any other examples that I have. Magic's been going on a long, long time, but that, again, that's a divided community. Maybe it's better to have a community that's not as divided, who are all a fan of this thing and can kind of all support it together, than it is to constantly have half the community selling out whenever you go a direction that they don't like. So maybe in that regard, it is better for HeroQuest to to fizzle out. Ruby asks, how much HeroQuest is too much HeroQuest? When have they gone too far? When do we go to the store, see the newest HeroQuest, and say, as lifelong fans, I'm good. I'm not going to get this one because of whatever reason. I'm done here. I'm finally done. So that's a good question. Everybody's going to have a different answer to that, I think. It's hard to, can't really answer for anybody else on that one. For me, so if the insides of First Light match the outsides, that's the expansion that I have for completionist's sake, and not the expansion that I have because I want it or like it. It's the one that's going to bug me if I don't have it. And then if everything after is of the same sort of quality, design, convention, attention, all that. And again, I don't know what's in the box. I'm not judging it prematurely. I don't know. Nobody knows. But if it were subpar, I could see myself bailing out. I could see myself kind of being done. I would probably, for the channel's sake, I would probably still continue to unbox and look at things. But as far as my personal collection goes versus what I don't want to make room for and what I would rather like gift off to a resale or to fans in the form of prizes, they would probably go that route. And who knows? Maybe not even First Light. But that doesn't take away from the stuff that I have. It doesn't take away from Jungles. It doesn't take away from Rise. It doesn't take away from Talor or Spirit Queen. All that's great stuff. And I will absolutely keep all of that in my collection and play it. And who knows? Maybe kind of like I do with Classic HeroQuest, I will continue to kind of go out and search for adjacent content and miniatures to collect into a huge master chest full of stuff. So I've got my classic box of everything. I just got Beastmen for it. I just shared in Discord. I got the Black Orcs. That stuff's going to be divided up. Some of them are going to go into my HeroQuest collection. Other ones are going to go into my Warhammer Quest collection. If I have enough, and if the book calls for it, a third of them will go into my Advanced HeroQuest box. But then, like, Contemporary HeroQuest? It's a little bit harder to collect stuff for, but once it becomes a finite thing, once it ends, I'll probably still go out and try to add stuff to it because I don't really want it to die. So I'll be collecting packs of Skaven for Skaventide. And speaking of, I still have that box of Skaven warriors clan rats that I need to unsprue and actually base. That's my gray shame. And Talisman, order a second copy of Talisman so I can take all of those minis and then give away the game. And then, because I already have it, and then base them with primer and then paint them Mephiston red and put them right in the box with my other HeroQuest heroes. I could see myself doing that. But like some people, that... Is there too much HeroQuest? That's already been reached. People are complaining when Ogre Horde came out. They were like, I'm nowhere near this expansion. And they just keep coming out with stuff. And then, boom, Jungles of Delthrak is like, hey, instead of September or August, we're going to start shipping stuff in July. We're not ready for that. We're not ready for any of that. We're just unboxing and looking at this stuff. And right now, all we can do is collect it and say, I just think they're neat. And we don't have time. We're not anywhere near this quest. Who's waiting for this so they can start playing with their group? Maybe a lot of people. Maybe a lot of people. I think with no evidence on which to base my hypothesis whatsoever, I think that a lot of us are not at Jungles of Delthrak. We are just unboxing it. We are marveling at the cool stuff. We're playing with the idea of making quests with the stuff. And then when our group comes over to play HeroQuest bi-weekly, it's back to Keller's Keep or Return of the Witch Lord or whatever other early expansion we were playing, because we're just not that far yet. Kind of what I think anyway. But I don't know that that hurts. I don't really know that that hurts in the long run, because like if they come out with another expansion in 2 months, they just drop one on us. They're like, surprise, it's Return to Keller's Keep. Or, surprise, it's The Witchlord Strikes Back. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to consume the Witchlord Returns again. They'll start Star Warsing it. Like, oh, that was the original trilogy. This is the prequel trilogy. The Witchlord is born. Oh, yes. Yes. The Witchlord Wars begins. No, I'd support it. As long as it wasn't the aforementioned terrible AI doomsday scenario, I'd be like, yeah, this is cool. It appeals to my collector senses. It appeals to my, hey, HeroQuest is back. There is a little degree of FOMO. Maybe it's a version of it. It's not quite the same thing, but it's like, oh, this disappeared 30 years ago and it's only available on eBay. So I make sure I have it today so I won't ever be without boredom. I don't just do this stuff with HeroQuest, by the way, and I don't think anybody else who collects it does. I think they've all got their own other stuff that they collect. Some of us are like, we got to get the best edition of the trilogy of Hobbit and Lord of the Rings movies. The ones that have the extended commentary by Elijah Wood and Mr. Sean Astin and all of the other hobbits and stuff. Oh, a new edition came out, and this time it's got a cool ring motif on the front. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I have, what else do I collect like this? Honestly, most of it's secondhand stuff. Most of it is old Conan books, H.P. Lovecraft books, fantasy books by Ed Greenwood. It would be fair to say most books by R.A. Salvatore, if I come across them in the wild. Lone Wolf, that's an instant collection thing for me. That's a no questions asked. New editions of Lone Wolf coming out? Mm-hmm. They're on my buy list. I don't even care what's in them. I'm not going to get to them for years to come. I'm only a little bit through the second book. I have no business buying these volume 13, 14, whatever the newer ones are. Or if I see a good price on a old version of a Lone Wolf book, if it's one that I know it's going to be hard to get, that's a good price, I'm going to get it. I'm not ready to read it. I'm not going to be for a long time, but I'm still going to get it. Because I'm in a position to do so right now, and I don't know if I'll always be in that position. And I guess that's my FOMO. I guess that's my version of it. So, with just some minutes left, parting thoughts, the next 5 years, I would say we could probably safely predict at least one adventurous expansion every year, compatible with whatever edition of HeroQuest. I see more Hero collections coming out. Those were received pretty well. They always seem to sell out pretty quickly. We've still got people waiting on the Monk to re-release. I could see that. I could see it. I don't know if it'll be the full 5 years, since that technically would be like twice the amount of time. Not twice. It would be longer than the amount of time that the resurgence of HeroQuest has already been out. I just don't know. But they certainly, if they want to, they can still give us the Wizards of Morcar. They can still give us something based on the Dark Company. A cool interpretation of it, wherein all of the quests do take place on different pages, different quest notes and everything. Something to play with the difficulty there. Awesome new knight sculpts. I could see it. I could see it for sure. Multiple endings. What's in store for it over the next 5 years, though? Ruby suggests that a practical alternative to having to release physical X-Pack after physical X-Pack is to create digital-only content and come out with campaigns that are digital only, perhaps free, perhaps paid, but they come out on the app, and that is how we continue to enjoy the game's future releases and expansions. And perhaps this means the base game can be resold in a new edition every so often. Perhaps it just means we have to continue buying into the very accessible editions of the base game that are out there now. And when I say that, I mean the now permanently reduced in price original base game from 2021, or perhaps the 2023 edition, or the first light edition. But digital campaigns, digital expansions, digital packs will be compatible, or would be compatible, with these base games. Kind of like I said, that if they did that, let's say they came out with three digital only, that's gonna cause people to make them. That's gonna cause Etsy sellers to have Return to Killer's Keep and the Witchlord Strikes Back expansions in no time. In record time, I could see Minis 3D already with the minis for it. And card sellers jumping all over that. So I mean, yeah, it would be another breath into a breath of life into the homebrew community, homebrew creators out there, and the homebrew communities that surround them. So it wouldn't be the absolute worst. I don't like the idea of digital only stuff just because I don't like reliance on an app. I actually went out of my way to get Mansions. No. Yes. The older edition of Mansions of Madness, so that I could play with all of the pieces that were there in a cabin with no internet, versus needing to have the app. Played the new edition with my brother-in-law. He managed the app and all that stuff, and it went swimmingly. I mean, it went smooth. It was fine. There were no problems. Yeah, and I want to make a comparison to like Legend of Zagor, where a lot of the game's mechanics are locked behind a voice-controlled chip from the 90s, and you hit a button, and depending on what button you hit, the computer will make Zagor speak to you and kind of curse one of the players and stuff. It's a core component of the gameplay. But one day that battery's going to die, then what do? You don't have access to any of that. That reminds me, I need to hurry up and finish my catalog every single thing that Zagor says for a deck of Zagor cards project. App assisted, I wouldn't hate it. I would actually, if it meant death of game otherwise, I wouldn't hate it, and I would understand the direction to move to it. But I also know that homebrewers out there jump on it, and I would be first in line to purchase a well-made quality physical set of homebrew interpretations of digital-only expansions physically. Yeah, that would be awesome. Other than that, I think that's about all the time I have. Well, thank you very much for popping in, despite the workiness. And while I know you cannot respond appropriately, I bid you a parting wah! And with that, that's all the time we have. So thank you guys very much for listening to the Boyodcast. Again, if you want to be considered a guest, just join the Discord, and we'll line you out. At least once I know you're a real person and not a bot. That's been a thing lately. You know, I got a sponsorship for a hairdryer. Give me a break. They were offering $400 because of my beauty content channel. That their words, not mine. Can you really, like, I want to secure the bag. Do you think I could market a hairdryer to my audience? Maybe I could. I don't know. There's no way. It's got to be a scam. But like, if we pretend that it wasn't a scam, if we dug down that hole, would you guys buy a hairdryer if I endorsed it? If I showed it being in use on my long locks? Yeah, I don't know. And I want to draw people's attention to the description of the YouTube version of this podcast, where I link the Orc Quest Warpath Facebook group, which is ran by Ribby. So if you are a fan of Orc Quest and you'd like to source other people's paint jobs, interpretations of rules, game reports, anything like that, of that matter, go check it out. It's awesome. It's a great hub. Thank you all for watching. I appreciate all the very kind attention, words, and support. Help me reach that 5,000 subs by end of year. I'm actually on track. It's just as long as there's no lulls in the content, which there very well could be. So tell a friend about AshQuest, coworker, colleague, fellow game person, maybe somebody that you know who plays the game already watches. Wouldn't that be a fun conversation? You watch that loser, Ash? Know the guy with the long hair? Yeah. Yeah. I bought a hairdryer because of an ad in his channel once. All right, guys. Until next time, onward, brave heroes.